Hollywood's leading ladies love to promote feminism and stand up for women's rights in America as if we're still living in medieval times. And celebrities are the primary vehicles through which modern day feminism is promoted. And feminism today claims to still be about women's rights when actually it's a strange and malicious movement that's waging a cultural Marxist war, not just against men, but also against women who prefer the traditional gender roles and who just like to be regular women and do womanly things. Hollywood uses their cultural Marxist methods to demonize women who want to be stay-at-home moms by claiming that they're victims of a male-dominated patriarchal society. And feminists and their financiers have successfully organized a rebellion of millions of women who now refuse to do womanly things like know how to cook or sew or even have children. Talentless trash like Kim Kardashian and Cardi B are held up as role models for modern women when they have no purpose other than to produce masturbation material for morons by posting scantily clad selfies on social media and encourage mindless materialism and hedonism. These bimbos are portrayed as divine royalty, but most of them can't sing, can't dance, they're not funny, they can't sew or make creative arts and crafts, they can't cook a decent meal, they can't grow or maintain a garden, they don't have anything remotely interesting or insightful to say, and have nothing to contribute to society at all. But nevertheless, they're built up as role models for women to aspire to be like when they're really nothing but pop culture parasites. Kaylee Cuoco, who played Penny on the hit show The Big Bang Theory, was viciously attacked in the media after she revealed in an interview that she liked to cook for her husband 5 nights a week and liked to feel like a housewife in serving him. In the interview, she was asked if she was a feminist, and she said it's not really something that she thinks about, and that she never faced inequality because she's a woman. And so she was attacked by the feminist blogs for betraying other women, and then issued an apology, claiming that her comments were taken out of context. Kirsten Dunst has also been attacked for not supporting feminism in the past and for saying in relationships, you need a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. Feminist blog Jezebel quickly responded with a post saying Kirsten Dunst is not paid to write gender theory, so it shouldn't surprise anyone that she's kind of dumb about it. Others were upset at Kirsten as well for daring to make a distinction between the different roles men and women should have in society. And she got the message. She later started endlessly complaining about making less money than the star of the Spider-Man films where she played his love interest. While it makes perfect sense that Spider-Man would make more money than anyone else in the film, she drank so much feminist Kool-Aid, she deluded herself into thinking that she should get paid just as much as the star of a film because she had a supporting role. Shailene Woodley, a star in the Divergent film series, some feminist empowerment films, was asked if she thought of herself as a feminist when promoting the first film in the trilogy. And she answered no, because she likes men. And she thinks that the idea of raising women to power takes the men away from power. And that strategy never works out, she said, because you need a balance. Ms. Magazine then fiercely denounced her and published an article titled, Why Feminists Need to Take Over School Boards So They Could Work to Indoctrinate Children with Their Twisted Worldview to Prevent People Like Shailene from Coming to Think the Way That They Do. Beyonce was spilt up by the Hollywood celebrity machine as the ideal woman, another singing stripper basically, who has no skills other than shaking her butt on stage. She was the face of a feminist campaign called Ban Bossy years ago, remember this, which aimed to equate the use of the word bossy the same as a racial slur. Well, Beyonce, we'll just call you an angry black woman then. How's that? Oh, I'm sorry. That's also considered a racial slur, according to Wikipedia. The Ban Bossy campaign even got the public support of First Lady Michelle Obama at the time, along with the now former senior Facebook executive Sheryl Sandberg, the Girl Scouts CEO, and others who apparently didn't see the hypocrisy in bringing Beyonce aboard a campaign to fight against supposed sexism when her husband, rapper Jay-Z, repeatedly calls women the B word and hoes in his music. In fact, Time Magazine once conducted a study of Jay-Z's lyrics and discovered that out of 217 songs at the time, out of his 15 different albums, 109 of them contain the B word. That's 50% of the songs. But let's get people to stop calling women bossy, because that hurts their feelings. Feminists often complain that men make more money than women, but fail to acknowledge that men work jobs that involve higher safety risks, that expose them to physical and health hazards, which no woman in her right mind would ever consider doing. Not even feminists, who obviously are crazy, but surprisingly not even that crazy. Or jobs that involve getting dirty, like a mechanic, or work that involves back-breaking labor, like pouring concrete, being a bricklayer, or any kind of construction. The wage gap is a widely debunked feminist myth, as a female writer at Time magazine surprisingly once explained, quote, "No matter how many times the wage gap claim is decisively refuted by economists, it always comes back. The bottom line, the 23-cent gender pay gap is simply the difference between the average earnings of all men and all women working full-time. It does not account for the differences in occupations, positions, education, job or tenure, or hours worked per week. When such relevant factors are considered, the wage gap narrows to the point of vanishing." Evolutionary biologist David Buss explains in his historic analysis of human mating behavior, The Evolution of Desire, that feminist theory sometimes portrays men as being united with all other men in a common purpose of oppressing women. But the evolution of human mating suggests that this scenario cannot be true, because men and women compete primarily against members of their own sex. He continues to say that men strive to control resources mainly at the expense of other men. Men deprive other men of their resources, exclude other men from positions of status and power, and derogate other men to make them less desirable to women. Buss continues that a startling consequence of sexual strategies, for example, is that men's dominant control of resources worldwide can be traced in part to women's preference in choosing a mate. These preferences, operating repeatedly over thousands of generations, have led women to favor who possesses status and resources and to disfavor men who lack these assets. Ancestral men who failed to acquire resources failed to attract women as mates. So basically, the reason men tend to be more driven and strive to achieve higher status positions of power is that's what women are attracted to. Not to mention there are other biological reasons for men to be more aggressive, such as testosterone and other genetic components. Women's preference for a successful, ambitious, and resourceful mate and men's competitive mating strategies evolved together, he says. These strategies include risk-taking, status striving, derogation of competitors, coalition forming, and an array of individual efforts aimed at besting other men on the dimensions that women desire. The intertwining of these co-evolved mechanisms in men and women created the conditions for men to dominate in the domain of resources. So the women who complain that men rule the world fail to realize that men only work towards those ends in order to impress women. As Buss says, the forces that originally caused the resource inequality between the sexes, namely women's preference and men's competitive strategies, are the same forces that contribute to maintaining resource inequality today. Adam Weishaupt, the founder of a certain organization you're not supposed to talk about, wrote about how they encourage women to rebel against their duties of domestic management and motherhood under the banner of freedom. The original writings of the group you're not supposed to name, many of which were discovered and confiscated and then later published, read, quote, "There is no way of influencing men so powerfully as by means of the women. These should therefore be our chief study. We should insinuate ourselves into their good opinion, give them hints of emancipation from the tyranny of public opinion and of standing up for themselves. It will be an immense relief to their enslaved minds," he said, "to be free from any one bond of restraint, and it will fire them the more and cause them to work for us with zeal without knowing they are doing so, for they will only be indulging in their own desire of personal admiration. That's a real quote. You can look it up. Or you can order my book on the subject inside the organization you're not supposed to name. In paperback and now hardcover on Amazon.com, by the way. And feminists are so short-sighted and hypocritical, they don't even realize that while they demand society stop imposing expectations on them to do womanly things like knowing how to cook or raise children, their hypocrisy is revealed when they still expect manly duties to be carried out by men, as they should be, of course. The same feminists who think that it's sexist if a man expects them to know how to cook a decent meal, like their mother and their grandmother before feminism threw a wrench into the dynamics of relationships, still expect men to diagnose their car problems, to fix things around the house, to shovel snow, to kill mice, to move furniture, etc., etc. Despite what feminists call male privilege, meaning they believe men have it easier in society simply because, you know, we're men due to the patriarchal dominated society men supposedly control, 92% of workplace deaths are men. 76% of homicide victims are men. 97% of combat deaths are men. The majority of homeless people are men. Women receive custody of children in 84% of custody cases. And many people deny that men could possibly even suffer from domestic abuse at the hands of female partners. But statistics show that 40% of domestic violence victims are men who are assaulted by their wives or girlfriends. So part of making America great again involves eradicating feminists from society by debunking the myths they perpetuate, standing up for traditional gender roles, and mocking them relentlessly until they cease and desist. I'm Mark Dice. Thanks for watching. If you like my more serious monologues like this, then you'll really love reading my books. So order Hollywood Propaganda, How TV, Movies, and Music Shape Our Culture, or The War on Conservatives in paperback from Amazon.com, and a hardcover as well, or download the ebook from Kindle, iBooks, Nook, or Google Play. My books are a lot more in-depth and hardcore than my videos, which I have to tone down a bit for obvious reasons. So head on over to Amazon.com or click the link in the description below and check them out.